And that's the tune for the song that I mentioned in the newsletter. which most people I've checked with have never heard of, but I found two or three here in our church that have heard of it, so that's good. Appreciate Brenda playing it. It's good to be in God's house. We've got several folks that are under the weather today, but you're here, and we play God's blessings upon you as we spend some time together, looking into God's word, praying, lifting up those that have special needs. It's good to be in God's house. I don't know of anywhere better to be on Sunday morning than in the presence of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this day that's given us. Lord, it's a beautiful day outside, but it's also a beautiful day here. Beautiful because of the smiles on the faces of your people. Beautiful because of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the one who died on the cross for us. Beautiful because we know we have a wonderful, wonderful home in heaven. Beautiful because we know that you are our God. That you are high and lifted up and that there is none other like you. Beautiful in that even if our world does not make sense in some ways, you're still on the throne. And Lord, we thank you for that beauty. We invite the Holy Spirit to speak in every way and that you would have us to hear. And Lord, may we have spiritual ears to hear. May we have committed wills to do as you instruct. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Today is Veterans Day, the day we honor the veterans as Veterans Day. And in doing that, I would like for you all to stand, and we're going to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Attention. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. I also want to recognize the veterans that are part of our church. And as we begin, we'll begin with Specialist Dane C. Barbie, served our country in the United States Army from 1968 to 1970 during the Vietnam War. Sergeant Mark C. Coley served our country in the United States Air Force from 1985 to 1990. Engineman Third Class Robert L. High, E-4, served our country in the United States Navy from 1974 to 1977 during the Vietnam War evacuation. Staff Sergeant Justin Ray Keplinger served our country in the United States Army from 2002 until present, serving in the branch of the military intelligence in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Sergeant Bobby G. Williams, E-5, served our country in the United States Army from 1965 to 1968 during the Vietnam War. Corporal James A. Hopkins served our country in the United States Army from the 1974 to 1975 during the Vietnam War. If you're here, would you please stand? Let's give them a hug. Thank you for your service, and we thank those who are not able to be with us today for their service. And in doing so, we picked out a song that I thought, the Battle Hymn of Republic, I thought is an appropriate song for this morning. So if you would please stand, and let's all sing that together.
Onward, Christian soldiers.
standing for prayer, please. Baby C. Stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, it's good to see you all this morning. I have some announcements I want to share with you. First, I want to read the card that Miss Ruth has left for me to share with you this morning. Ruth is saying to us, "Thank you, Reverend Ed and our church family. I love all of you and appreciate all the food, calls, and help we received. Please continue to pray for me and our family, Ruth Eford and family." And Ruth, indeed, we will continue to pray for you, and God bless you. I have some announcements I want to share with you. Today is going to be a busy day. At 11 o'clock, we'll have a stewardship meeting. And then at 5 to 7, the youth meeting and supper. 5 will also be adult prayer time. And 5:30 to 6:30 will be adult discipleship training. Next Wednesday night, we will have our time of study and our Bible study. So be there for that. Now, it has a deacon meeting there, but Chairman Linker has already took care of that. So we've had our meeting, right, Kenny? Okay. So that's all. That's a good deal. All right. Now, also, I want to share with you about the Baptist Children's Home offering, annual offering. Read the details on that, and I think we know what an important time that is. Do that. The Boston Butt Sale is also November the 21st, 22nd. That's real close. It's real close. So if you hadn't had your order, don't have your orders in yet, Miss Rosina, we could use another 5 or 10 from you. So, okay, keep them coming. We may have to get a whole herd of cows, of hogs. I'm sorry? Okay, let's see. The orders, let's see if I've got it on here somewhere. Yeah, Monday or Tuesday, yeah. We need helpers, and he says we need some helpers Saturday morning from 9 to 12. Thanks. So read your book. Yeah, and 21st for cooking. That's right. Robert, do what? And wrapping, yeah. So we need help. So make sure you're there for that, okay? Any questions? Okay. Call conference November the 23rd. On November 23rd, we'll have a call conference for the purpose of approving a budget for the upcoming year and to address building and grounds committee's concerns. So, updates. So, be sure you're here for that. Okay, updates to remember. And Kathy, the celebration of communion will be from November the 30th to the, and then December the 6th, church-wide Christmas stew and fellowship. Do anybody want to speak to that? That we'll do about basically what we've done in the past, right, Rosina? Yeah. Okay.
Sign up sheet. If you yep. are, if you don't want to drive because it's getting so dark so early, if you would like for us to come and pick you up, there's a sign up sheet in the back. If you'll put your name, and then somebody from the church will be glad to come by and pick you up and bring you and then take you back home. So don't stay home because you don't want to drive.
That's right. Let us know. We'll pick you up. December the 14th to the at 6 p.m. will be the children's Christmas play at here. And also the adults will also be taking part of that. Right, Tonda, you want to share with that? We plan to do that as well.
We're in the process of that plan, but the praise team will plan to put something together.
Yes. Okay. Are there any announcements I may have overlooked? All righty. Then let's go to our prayer time. Prayer time, as I've already received several, and I want to share with you now. Bobby Williams, as you all know, is in a veterans hospital, Salisbury. He's having some breathing issues, and they didn't say pneumonia, and I thank God for that. But they are treating him as such. So keep Janice and Bobby definitely in your prayers. Jeff Kay, he's not here, and he's not up in the perch today. And he's not able to be. If you heard his voice on the one call, I think you'll know he's not doing very well. So to keep him in your prayers. Tammy Harville, she is now in rehab and just making great progress. But she has such a long road for recovery. Keep her in your prayers. Eva Ann's, she's not able to hardly talk at all. And been that way, 3 weeks now, Eva Ann? About... Yeah, I know you can't talk. Let me talk for you, okay? That's a rare one. Now, but she's been in this condition about 3 weeks, so let's keep her voice is about gone, and we won't ask her to speak. Then let's remember Tish Linker and remember her as she needs our prayers today. Now, are there any others that I may have overlooked that I don't have? Yes. Carolyn Carpenter family. Okay. Carolyn Carpenter family. All right, others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful, very, very thankful for an opportunity we have to be able to stand and be able to kneel and be able to thank you and to be able to be into your house. This church belongs to you, Lord, and we know that, Lord, it's available to us for worship. And, Lord, we're here to do that today. We're here to lift you up, Lord, and to worship your holy name. Also, Lord, you ask us to come to you, Lord, when we have in a time of need. Bring our petitions to you, Lord, and we want to do that this morning, Lord. And also, Lord, we want to be very specific to those needs. We ask you, Lord, we're going to lift up Bobby Williams to you as he is in the Veterans Hospital with breathing issues. We pray for him. We lift him up to you, Lord. Jeff Kay, Lord, as his voice is gone, he's got some kind of virus. Lord, we pray for him this morning. For Tammy, my daughter-in-law, Lord, that as she continues to progress and get better, Lord, we ask, Lord, as she is doing her very best, Lord, to fight each day, we ask, Lord, and continue, Lord, we thank you for the mercies and the absolute where she is today. It's just a miracle, and we thank you for that. Pray, Lord, for Eva Ann, Lord, that her voice will be restored to her and that she'll get better very, very soon. For Tish Linker, we lift her up to you, Lord. We know you know what she needs. We pray for her. And then, Lord, for the Carolyn Carpenter family, we pray for them and lift them up to you. Our pastor, Lord, Reverend Ed, we pray for him now, Lord, and lift him up as he comes before us today and as he shares with us the message that he has prepared through your leadership. We pray for him today. We pray, Lord, for our praise team. Lord, as we are beginning to start some new music, and we pray for them, and we lift them up to you. And all these blessings, Lord, we lift it, pray in your name. Amen. All right, while I'm speaking to the praise team, come on up, ladies, and let's sing. While they're coming up, I'm going to explain something to you. You're going to be hearing these songs several times. We're going to try our very best to take, we've picked out four songs, and we're going to sing them over till you get them. Or do we get them? Do we learn them? And if we learn them, you'll get to learn them too. So we want you to sing with us this morning as we sing this song this morning, because in about 4 weeks it's going to be sung again, right? And so that we've got four, we'll just keep repeating them over. Okay, let me get out of the way so you can come on. Okay, here's the first one that we picked out.
Oh, do you want to have them stand with us?
Yeah.
Sing.
If they want to stand, sure, you can. Stand with us. Please do.
This is for you guys.
Yep. It says, "Here I am to worship," so that's what we're going to do. So stand up, please. And the words will be there for you, and sing with us. We want to teach you this song, okay? That's what we're trying to accomplish.
It's going to be familiar. Yeah,
very familiar.
Y'all are going to recognize.
Okay, Wes.
Since this is the month of Thanksgiving, last week we began to look at some reasons to be thankful. And if you remember, we looked at the Apostle Paul and all of the things for which he gave thanks. I'm not sure we mentioned them all. We mentioned a bunch of them. And even though he was imprisoned, stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, snake bitten, run out of town, lied about and lied to, Paul still was a thankful man. And so we looked at that last week. And today I want to continue in the same vein and think about some reasons to be thankful. And today we want to thank God for his protective power. God's protective power. If you want to turn to Psalm 91, Psalm 91. And we'll get into that in a minute. But I want to start with a little true story. Years ago, Pamela and I were friends with a couple that were just a little older than we were. They lived in a really nice house, swimming pool, but it was back in the woods. In other words, you couldn't see the house from the road. And the man suddenly had a heart attack and died. And I went by the house, you know, I don't know how many days later to visit, see how the wife and children were doing. And this lady came to the door and she was carrying one of those cloth bags, you know, that you see ladies carrying their knitting and their crocheting in, so that if they go to the doctor's office, dentist's office, and they've got time, you know, they're busy. And I thought, well, that's neat. I don't know whether I found out that night or I found out later. She had a loaded pistol in the bottom of that bag. Somebody come to her house back in the woods and think they're going to cause trouble. She's going to just stick her hand in the bag and pull the trigger because that cloth wasn't going to stop that bullet. You see, she was protecting herself and her kids. Had a boy and a girl. I dare say that some of you do the same thing. You may not have your pistol in a cloth bag, but it's near, or a rifle or a shotgun, because we protect our families. Is that not true? We do our best to protect our families. But now suppose this. After she goes to bed and goes to sleep, either her son or her daughter slips out of the house, walks down the driveway to the paved road, and prearranged has a meeting with some of their friends, and they go off somewhere. They're out from under mom or dad's protection. They're on their own. Now, mom and dad can still come down to the jailhouse and pay their bail, or come over to the hospital and visit them and commiserate with their injuries. But basically, they're out from under the protection of mom and dad when they slip out of the house. Now, they're protected in the house, but out of the house, they're sort of on their own. Mom and dad still have some protective powers, but not nearly as much. Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection. And it goes like this: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who's the person who's protected? The person who dwells with the Lord. The person who dwells with the Lord. The person who lives in God's presence. You got to be pretty close to somebody to be in their shadow. Looks like the sun's shining. If we go out this door and I go this way and you go that way, you're not in my shadow. If you're going to live close to the Lord, he says you're going to be in his shadow. And the word dwell means to be a permanent resident. You know, I've slept on the ground. I've slept in tents. I've slept in cheap motels and some not cheap motels. But there's only a few places I've ever dwelt. The place where I stored my clothes, the place where I went back to regularly, the place where I got my mail. He says you dwell in the secret place of the Most High and you're under the protection of God. If we're not dwelling with the Lord, we may not be under God's permanent protection. Now, notice, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. In God, in him will I trust. You know, when you're saved and you're born again, you enter into the presence of God. But living to please him and living with the desire to be in his presence is what keeps you there. You don't get into his presence first until you give your heart and life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But then we have to choose daily to live in his presence. Now, if I got to my house this afternoon and either of my children, their spouses, or my grandkids showed up and said, Papa Louder, can we stay with you for a while? Come on in. You're welcome. But I'm going to sit them down and say, no smoking in my house. No alcohol in my house. No illegal drugs in my house. No bringing a person of the opposite sex in my house and y'all going to the bedroom and shutting the door. And you're going to help with the chores. Now, all of that's reasonable. And there may be another one, too, that I would think of. But if they're going to live with me, they're going to go by certain rules. If we're going to live by the Lord, we're going to try to strive for righteousness, holiness, godliness. We're going to spend time with studying his word. We're going to spend time in prayer. We're going to be faithful in the Lord's house. It says the person protected is the person who dwells in the presence of the Lord. And I have the sneaking feeling that a lot of Christians are like those kids that want to slip out of the house at 1 o'clock in the morning. And they don't intend to get in trouble, but they do. Mm-hmm. And I see church members over the years, and they think, well, now why did this happen to me? And I think, man, the way you've been living, I'm surprised something worse didn't happen to you. Amen. Because they weren't abiding in the presence of the Lord. And we're trusting in that verse 2, he says, we're trusting in the Lord, not in ourselves or not in anybody else. What's the old poem that, or I'm master of my fate and captain of my soul? Not a good idea. Jesus, captain of my life. When I was, 18 and driving that produce truck all the time, I wanted to get one of those bumper stickers that I saw a lot at that time. It says, God is my co-pilot. Some of y'all remember those? But Daddy wouldn't let me put one on the truck. But that's not a good idea either. God ought to be the pilot and we ought to be the co-pilot. God ought to be in control. And then he says, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Think about some areas that God protects us. He protects us from the hidden traps of the devil. You think about the life of Jesus. How many times the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the publicans came up to him and said, some trick question, trying to get Jesus to mess up and tell a lie or say the wrong thing. But Jesus always knew that's wrong. Now, the devil will try to trick you in many ways. He will try to trick you spiritually. It's sad, but over the years I've seen a number of Baptists become involved in cults. And once their mind goes that way, it's hard, hard, hard for them ever to see the truth again. He will try to trick you sexually. I had a young lady, beautiful young lady, come to me years ago, and she said, Ed, we get to take a lunch break at a place where I work, and the only person there who's a Christian is a man about my age. Everybody else is vulgar and everything, and says, he's the only one I spend time with. Told her, not a good idea. She'd be better off eating alone. Well, she didn't leave town with him, but she left town with somebody else. The devil was leading her in a sexual way away from her husband. And he was one of the finest men you will ever meet. He's an awesome, awesome servant of the Lord. And she just messed it up. Devil will try to deceive you politically. It's amazing some of the stuff I read and hear, and I just don't want to talk to some people anymore. It's just screwy. The devil tries to mislead us away from the Lord in many, many ways. And he will give us every excuse under the sun to stay out of church. It's just amazing. Devil try to mislead you financially. Man, this is a good, good plan. Just invest your money with this and you'll be a multi-trillionaire in 2 weeks. No, you'll be broke in 2 days. He talks about darkness. Sometimes there's a devil attacks us in ways that we don't begin to understand. And yet, and see, I'm not saying dwell under the shadow of the Almighty and you'll never have a problem. Please understand that. Because there are attacks of the devil. But when you're under the shadow of the Almighty, even when the devil attacks, you can be blessed and others can be blessed. Now, y'all are about to hear some things I've been sharing with the group on Wednesday nights. You think about Paul. He was shipwrecked and then snake bitten. That sound like fun? And it was cold, miserable, and rainy. And yet out of that, the islanders came to know Jesus. The chief man on the island blessed them. His mother was healed. Paul was and Silas were beaten, thrown in the innermost prison. That don't sound like fun either. But out of that came an earthquake, a jailer and his family getting saved, and a church being started. Sometimes the devil throws something evil against us, and God, if we're like Paul, thankful and praising the Lord and trying to live in the presence of God, even though something bad happens, God turns it into a praise testimony, and as a result, lives are changed. You know, he says, 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. I think it's interesting, you know, the celebrating Veterans Day. And I don't know whether this, I know, I'm pretty sure this story I'm about to tell you is true. But I don't know whether it's World War I or World War II. There were six men from the same little town. They were in the same military unit. And it says that those six men, every morning, got up and read Psalm 91 and prayed. And in the whole war, not a one of the six ever got a scratch. Just amazing. They got up and claimed the protection of God over and over again. And then, you know, when he talks about there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I'm going to share a couple of things that, again, I shared on a Wednesday night, and a couple of new ones. God promises angelic protection. He shall give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up. And one of the stories I told is about a lady that I know. I've not seen her in a few years. Her name was Carol, and she's just about Carol's size. She's a major, when I knew her, in the Broken Arrow Police Department. One night, she's out on patrol by herself. She sees a car pull out of a drinking establishment, and the Holy Spirit says, arrest that man. Well, she's got to have a reason, so she follows, and he's got a tail light out, and that's sort of a reason, and he starts weaving around, that's sort of a reason, then he makes an illegal turn, and that's a third reason, so she pulls him over. Now remember, Major Carroll's Miss Carroll's size. The guy gets out of his car, and he's 6'6", 300 pounds, looks like he ought to be playing linebacker for the Panthers. And she's looking up at him. And she's speaking into her, send me back up, send me back up, send me back up. Because he could squash her, and she sees he's got a pistol in his belt. She takes the pistol. She says his wrists were so big, she almost couldn't get the handcuffs to tighten up on them. She finally got them to click. Found another gun in his pants, another half a dozen guns in the car, drugs in the car. He had a rap sheet as long as your arm, all kinds of assaults and everything else. And she kept saying, send backup, send backup. And finally, this guy keeps looking over her shoulder and says, why do you want backup other than the guy you got with you? Well, she's not going to about to turn her back and look. But he's seeing somebody that's behind her. And he says to the guy that's behind her, buddy, you sure are a big one. Where do you get your uniforms? I know you don't buy those off the rack. And then he turns to Major Carroll and says, he don't talk much, does he? She says, no, but he's a new recruit and he's mean and he loves to fight. And this guy is totally compliant with anything that she says because he is seeing an angel. That's the only possible explanation, a humongous angel that even at 6'6", he's got to look up to. Now that is the protecting power of God. It doesn't always happen, but it can happen. And she says she never feared after that any time she made a traffic stop. I mean, you know, she was cautious and everything, but she knew God had her back. God had her back. I think about some instances in my life and Pam's life when the devil, you know, I think tried to kill us. You remember a few months ago I wrote about a newsletter article about a wreck I didn't have where I'm down here and I'm meeting a guy on the two-lane road coming this way and a person coming up this road doesn't stop till their nose at the middle line. And I close my eyes because I don't want glass and everything in my eyes and slam on brakes. And there's never a collision. And I look in my rearview mirror and he's back there still blocking the road. Now, whether I went over, an angel lifted me over, or an angel lifted him up, and I slid under, or whether we did one of those Star Trek dissolve and go through, I have no clue. But I know there wasn't a wreck.
Amen.
Somehow or another, God protected me at that moment. I don't know how many I could share, but let me share two from Pam's life. Back years ago, she was often asked to come to various churches and do Friday night, Saturday ladies' prayer retreats. And she headed off up to, I think it was Spruce Pine, up in the mountains. She was driving the newer one of our two cars, and she had Sarah, who was about 14, with her. And she gets up there on those curvy mountain roads, and something hangs up in the carburetor of that car. And nobody, with her foot off the gas, that car is going faster and faster and faster around those roads. And Sarah's praying, Pam's praying as much as she can, and trying to keep from sailing off into space. She finally, you know, was able to get both feet on the brake and slow the thing enough down to cut it off before she ran into a building at where the road she was on came to a T. She was close enough to her destination to call the lady that was sponsoring the prayer retreat, and the lady came and got her and sent out a man from the church who was a mechanic, and he did something, said, your carburetor's got this problem. But he fixed it, and they came on home. After the repair retreat. Next Monday morning, I'm sitting at Confederate when they opened up, said, hey, my wife almost got killed. Take a look at this. They check it and say, oh, this part's defective. And so they replaced it. It cost me $165. But hey, I don't want to take a chance on losing a good wife. Good wives are hard to find. And the one like I had was really, really hard to find. Well, about a month later, I get this nice letter from Chevrolet that says, this is a recall notice. That model vehicle that you own has a defective part. I took that and my bill back down to Confederate and said, hey, they just recall that, and they gave me my money back. Amen. But you see, God's protective power when just a slip, and she could have sailed off around one of those curves and never made it. And all the good that she did in the years afterwards, and all the good that Sarah has done as missionary and a teacher and a mom, would have been lost. I'll tell one more on Pam. When we moved from Prospect to the mountains, they sent down a moving truck, as you know, you would do. Well, the truck they sent wasn't big enough, so they couldn't get all of our stuff. So the church said, okay, we'll just rent a U-Haul. You take it down there and get the rest of your stuff. We'll pay for the U-Haul. I said, that's great, because Pam can ride down in the truck, and we left our other car there, and she can drive it back. So we load up, we're going back, and it's raining cats and dogs. I mean, it's terrible. You know, when you get right to the top of Old Fork Mountain on 40, and over on the left, there's a place where trucks are supposed to pull off to get instructions about going down the mountain. And over on this side is a big bank. Just as we get to that big bank, the big bank explodes because of all the rain, and mud shoots across our side of the road. Now, that wasn't a real problem. Right next to the bank were those concrete barriers. You know, they're about this long, about yay high, this wide, and then at the bottom about so wide. One of those shot across in front of Pam like it was shot out of a gun. Just missed the front of the car. If she had been a second faster, it would have hit right in that door, rammed her up against the concrete barrier on the other side. But she was protected. She was protected. The mud was so high and thick that we just sat there until finally some tractor-trailer drivers came over and they just mashed it down and mashed it down until we could drive over it and going on. But we drove home thanking the Lord, God's protective power. Now, I could keep you here another 30 minutes telling you stories just like that from my life or life of people that I know. But he says, you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. No matter what kind of dangers we face in the world or from the devil or whatever. But then go back to when you get to the last three verses, 14, 15, 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he hath known my name. He will call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. It goes right back to the beginning. Is our love set on the Lord? Are we dwelling with him? Is Jesus number one in our life? Or is he number 3, 4, 5 or 14 or 18 or whatever? Are we the kind of people that live in the presence of God, choose the best we can to live in his presence, or are we the kind of person that likes to sneak out on God every chance we get? When we dwell with Jesus, we experience deliverance, protection, answered prayer, long life, and a satisfying life. I like that. I quote that to myself, verse 16, real long, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And every so often I say, Lord, I hadn't had it yet. I still haven't had that long life yet. Because I want to live as long as I can glorify the Lord. You can also, God's no respecter of persons, and you can also be thankful for the protecting power of God. And I imagine that some of you could stand up and give the same type of testimonies that I just gave. And I would suspect if we get to, when we get to, not if we get to, when we get to heaven, if we ask the Lord, can I see a video of my life? He'll show us about another 1,000 times that we didn't even realize the angels protected us. Amen. Or God intervened and just by a split second, Amen. We were protected because we were living in the presence of God. I highly, highly recommend you choose to live in the presence of God. Amen. Dwell there, stay there, abide there, and watch the Lord bless you. I don't tell you there'll never be any problems, but even when there are, God can bless. Let's stand and we'll sing our hymn of invitation. If you need to give your heart and life to Jesus, if you need to come to the altar, if something else is on your mind or heart, we invite you to come.
Just as I am.
Make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, give you his peace, his love, his joy, his protection. In Jesus' name, amen.